keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with host LaVon. It's Friday. Happy Friday. May 9th, 2014. We did it. We had another long week. I don't know about you, but this week was trying. It was good. There's a lot going on. Pretty excited about this weekend. We're getting closer to the March Against Monsanto. It's taking place everywhere on the 24th of this month, so in just a couple weeks. It's crazy how fast it's coming up. So tonight we're going to talk about Monsanto. There's a speech that I want to read to you guys designed to persuade people about the effects of GMOs. It's original content. I'm excited to share it with you. And we're also going to talk about Dr. Bonner's magic all-in-one soaps, how we can save water, and how we can practice conscious sustainability at home. This has become apparent to me lately, even more, especially because the cost of water. And you guys know I'm growing a garden now, and we've got flowers in the front and vegetables in the back, and they require a lot of water. So, you know, seeing the cost effects of that has made me become more aware of how precious water is and what I can do to save it. And I wanted to share some ideas with you guys. Read a really interesting article about a man who didn't shower for an entire year. So I want to share his story with you. Let's get started. Let's talk about Dr. Bonner first. Really inspired by this legacy of this family. I started using them a long time ago just because it was something my grandma used, and I really loved the smell. There's an interesting story behind the company. It's a family-owned and run natural product. They began making soaps. Their family can be traced back to 1858. Emanuel Bonner was the third generation certified as a master soap maker under the guild system of the time. In 1929, he brought his formulas for high-quality liquid and bar soaps to America, starting Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps in its current form in 1948. Their soaps are renowned for quality, versatility, and eco-friendliness, which is important. Enjoyed a small but loyal following in the early years. In the late 60s, however, soap sales started to explode due to the unsurpassed ecological quality combined with Emanuel Bonner's urgent message to realize our transcendent unity across religious and ethic divides. He's a soul brother of mine. We're speaking the same words. Word of mouth soon made Dr. Bonner's the iconic soap of that era. And in the decades that followed, the soap spread into every health food store in the U.S. and then into the mainstream as well. winning over fans from all walks of life on the way to becoming the number one selling brand of natural soaps in America. There's a documentary on Netflix about Dr. Bronner. I encourage you to watch it. He is an incredible human, and he sacrificed a lot of time with his family to share his message. And it's still being demonstrated today. And I can't tell you, there's not a day that goes by that I don't read that bottle when I'm in the shower. So Dr. Bronner, thank you. The fourth and fifth generations of the Bronner family who run the company today continue to make their unsurpassed soaps with care and integrity. 2008 marked both the 60th anniversary of Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps in America and the 150th anniversary of our family's first soap-making activity in southern Germany. I'm reading from their website. Today, Dr. Bronner continues its mission and commitment to building an engine for promoting and advancing positive social change. From pioneering USDA-certified organic personal care products to creating fair trade products across the world that ensure fair and just treatment of farmers and workers, to creating a socially responsible workplace here in the U.S., we strive to honor our heritage with progressive business practices while devoting profits to worthwhile causes and charities worldwide. What an amazing product. I support them, and I wanted to give you guys some ideas on how maybe this product could help you as well. You should know that nobody pays me or encourages me to endorse their products. I share with you guys things that I use and things that I know. You won't hear me speak on anything unless I'm familiar with it. So, yeah, I have very sensitive skin. I think I've shared with you guys before that I should live in a bubble. I am allergic to everything. Penicillin, grass, dirt, bees, cat dander, dog dander, pollen. Did I say bees? I love bees, but I have an allergic reaction to them. You name it. Gluten, all kinds of stuff. My body goes, no. I'm able to use all these products, and I don't get any sort of reactions. So to me, that's comforting. They have a lot of healing properties depending on the type that you use. We're going to go over some of the uses of that stuff in just a minute. First, I want to talk to you about Dr. Bronner's website. If you go to www.drbronner.com, you can read along with me. We're going to go into the section that's under Impact. Under Engage in the Going Green blog. They have this whole section guaranteed to things you can do at home to help you become green. Let's see here. Some very interesting stuff in regards to cleaning. So I want to talk to you guys about a few of those things, and then we'll do some reading about the guy who didn't shower for a year. We'll try and tie it all back in with the garden. Let's see. For example, did you know that you can use Dr. Bronner's all-in-one soap to clean your vegetables? This is exciting, right? We all know that our foods are not grown with the best integrity, and it's important to wash them because you want to get off as much of the chemicals and pesticides as you can, right? Let's see. Most of these are videos, but going to read to you what they have here. Let's see. You want to get some castle soap. They recommend the citrus type and the eucalyptus tree if you'd like. So you just put the soap into a bowl of water, about half a tablespoon. You don't need very much. It doesn't get bubbly, but it gets cloudy just because of the nature of the soap. And so you want to put all of the fruit just right into the soapy water. And you can wash them, you know, until you feel like they're sufficiently clean. And then you just want to have a rinsing bowl for water and then go from the cleaning bucket to the rinsing bucket. So it seems pretty easy. Let's see here. To take off wax, there's a little different method. They say that most produce, to make it more presentable, and we all know this, even to preserve it a little, there's a little bit of wax coating that sometimes is put on top of it. So you want to add 2 drops of salsa, they say, and you can watch a video on how to make that certain product. So check that out. That's an interesting thing. You know, people sell a lot of products in the grocery stores now to clean your vegetables. Why not have an all-in-one soap? It seems really practical. I just think it's ridiculous that we have to have different types of soaps for different parts of our body. For example, the other day, my boyfriend got approached in regards to his beard. He's had this beard for like over a year, so it's ridiculous. Ridiculously long and epic, as he calls it. And this lady works in the salon business, and they're trying to launch a new product for men to encourage them to care for their beard. And she, you know, she was inquiring with him because of his beard, would you purchase something extra to take care of your beard? And I thought, that's brilliant. You know, they're trying to capitalize on the fact of that beards are now a thing. But correct me if I'm wrong, typically the people who are growing beards are the ones who don't want to take that extra time or effort to care for the constant shaving of the face. You know, that takes a lot of time. So why would said person spend an extra time washing their beard? I mean, I know that you clean it when you're in the shower, that's a given, but do you really need a whole other soap and product line for it? I don't know, it got me thinking about today's topic. I didn't really know what I wanted to talk about exactly, but it reminded me that Dr. Bronner's is awesome, and I even brush my teeth with it. It's literally an all-in-one, and I save a ton of money. Like, you spend about $17 on the bottle, but I have it for over a year, and that's using it on me, the kids, and, you know, and whoever else comes to take a shower at my house. So it's really a good investment. You can clean your vegetables. We talked about that. You can clean your stainless steel appliances. They have instructions on how to do that. Something that I really liked is you can deodorize your garbage disposal. You can clean your toilet bowl. You can make a hand sanitizer. And they have an article on here titled Dr. Bronner's Pure Castle Soaps versus Pump Soaps. I want to tap into that one for a moment because the quality of ingredients is what's most important here. So this was written on December 4th of 2013. And it says, if Dr. Bronner's Pure Castle Soap is so versatile, why make another kind of soap? The organic pump soap. Why should I buy? Dr. Bronner's Pure Castle Soap is extremely simple soap. It's my grandfather's original. And if you've only heard of Dr. Bronner's one product, it's probably the Castle Soap and probably the peppermint. We all love that peppermint. Its method of reacting oils with a strong alkali is Manila Old. Someone from the Middle Ages looking at our soap making process would understand exactly what we are doing. The art of creating the perfect castle soap, though, lies in the choice and balance of oils as well as other processing methods. When you have the perfect soap, it's the most versatile cleaning agent possible. If you had to choose only one product for every aspect of your life, Dr. Bronner's Pure Castle Soap is it. However, through the years, we have repeatedly heard a few requests. It would be nicer if it were thicker. It would be nicer if it was moisturizing. So they have a new product. I didn't realize. I thought they were comparing this to something else. So you can check that out. And they say that this new soap is more geared towards personal care, and they don't have the drying effects of the other ones, which I have heard that from certain people that it has that drawing, like, astringent-like a feel after you're done cleaning. So this one's a little more moisturizing. And they say that if you want to stick to house cleaning, the Pure Castle soap is the way to go. And the new one called, forgive my pronunciation here, is more geared towards personal care. So they are expanding their products, as you would hope any business would. What I like most about them, though, is that they support a lot of causes. Not only are they creating green products, but they want to help perpetuate good news. And Dr. Bronner is going to be at the March Against Monsanto, which is occurring in San Diego on May 24th at 11 o'clock at Balboa Park. Do some research, see if there's an event in your city. You can check out March Against Monsanto page on Facebook. And I gave you guys some information last week about the OccuCards. They've got some great resources on there. Let's see. But I just wanted to bring to your attention, you know, just to consider, how long are you in the shower? And how much water are you utilizing? And what can you be doing with that water instead? I've decided to trade my time in the shower, which I love. That's like therapy for me. In exchange for vegetables. So I'm going to dedicate myself to 5 minute or less showers. And Dr. Bronner actually has a method for showering that requires a little water. He recommends filling up a bucket and using a towel and a couple drops of soap and just rinsing all the essential parts. I may do that for a little while. I may see how that goes. That leads me into my next story here. The man who didn't shower for an entire year, you guys might have seen this story. It was circulating around the internet. It's really interesting. First of all, you read the title and you're like, what? And then you get into the story, and it's really beautiful. This man, his name is Rob Greenfield, and he spent an entire year bathing in only natural water resources. He initially planned to do it for 100 days while cycling across the United States, but when his trip was over, he decided to extend the time to see how many people he can inspire to pay attention to their surroundings. Another soul brother on the same mission. I feel like we're all so disconnected from the earth, and this reminded me of how different life used to be. So he is a proclaimed adventurer and activist for the environment, and he speaks of how he managed to stay clean despite of not conventionally showering or showering in a conventional manner for an entire year. He spent his bathing time in natural resources like rivers, lakes, waterfalls, and in the rain. And when he was not able to utilize those things, he would find leaky fire hydrants and taps. So he was trying to utilize the water that otherwise would have been wasted. That's pretty cool. You can Google him. There are so many pictures of him inside of like swampy areas or underneath waterfalls, utilizing the hydrants. And he lives here in San Diego, which is cool. I didn't know that. And I want to let you know, dude, that you inspired me to save water. He says that the average American consumes around 100 gallons of water a day. But he said he uses about 2 gallons a day for an entire year. That's profound. He's gained a lot of people following him on social media, and he hopes to encourage people to live happier and healthier lifestyles. And what a message. It says here that he once only ate dumpster meals for a week to build awareness on food waste. And he runs an environmentally friendly active marketing company called the Greenfield Group in San Diego. I have to look this guy up. For the entire bike ride, I had committed to not taking a shower and instead just swimming in lakes and rivers when I came across them. And he said that he didn't miss showering in a conventional way. He said that he connected with his, you know, the source of water. He became to appreciate it. And he said he made a lot of friends. Sometimes people would share with him, you know, in shower. And most importantly, he's encouraging a lifestyle that could be utilized while living in balance with nature. So not consuming chemicals, not applying them to the body. That's another burden. That's more things that your body has to deal with. A lot of times in my office, you know, I manage a healing center, and I speak to you guys about this retracing, which is the typical way, or healing reaction, sometimes it's called, is the typical manner in which the body processes and heals. And we're so disconnected in this society, you know, we take a pill and we literally turn off all the mechanisms that alert us to said thing. So we don't experience healing. We don't experience pain. And when we go through a healing modality that is more natural, we are feeling all those things. And a lot of the time, the body is detoxing, and it doesn't feel good. You know, think about, why do people have to detox? Well, they're ingesting chemicals in every aspect of their lives. Food, products, and, you know, the things we're using to care for our bodies are actually hindering us. Isn't that counterproductive? So check out Dr. Bronner's, or just be encouraged to use things that don't have chemicals in them. You'd be amazed at how differently you may feel. And take some note from Mr. Rob Greenfield here, who was a good reminder of how much water we do use. I'm going to definitely exchange some hot shower action for nourishment to my garden. It's going to be awesome. Especially when the water bill was like $140. I heard that's outrageous. Nobody should spend that much water or money on water. So on to our next topic here, which is Monsanto and GMOs. So I'd like to persuade you, my audience, to stop eating GMOs and to help eradicate genetically modified and engineered foods. So the use of genetically modified plants and animals has already become common in today's society without many people being aware of it. That's where I have most of my issue. The lack of consumer consent in the choice to eat genetically modified foods creates an ethical dilemma. Who here has heard the quote, "You are what you eat"? And do you believe it? GMOs are harmful to our health, and we should not consume them. Therefore, we should demand action for them to be labeled on our products and or eradicate them altogether. I've been researching GMOs for a few years now. I started looking into them as a result of watching a documentary, Food Inc. It is a documentary about how the current method of raw food production is in response to the growth of the fast food industry. It is controlled primarily by a handful of multinational corporations. The health and safety of food itself, of the animals produced, of the workers, and the consumers actually eating the food are often overlooked by the companies and are often overlooked by government in an effort to provide cheap food regardless of these negative consequences. Today, I will tell you why GMOs are bad, why foods containing GMOs should be required to be labeled, and why Monsanto needs to be stopped. Let's start by talking about GMOs. What are GMOs? According to dictionary.com, a GMO is defined as an organism whose genetic material has been altered by means of genetic engineering. Most genetic modification of foods have primarily focused on cash crops such as soybean, corn, canola, and cottonseed oil. These have been engineered for resistance to pathogens and herbicides. U.S. consumers mistakenly believe that if the FDA has approved GM foods, then GM foods are safe to eat. The FDA is there to protect us, right? Reality is that the FDA has absolutely no GMO safety requirement. The research and case reports regarding what actually happens when animals and people consume GM foods is not reassuring. In his book, Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith, he provides a detailed discussion of the documented health risks of GMOs, including evidence of reactions seen in animals and humans. Here are a few examples from Smith's coverage of GMO effects. Rats were fed the GM Flavor Saver tomato for 28 days. You know, guys, I've told you that 28 days is what it takes for your body to become new, right? Every cell is a new cell. 7 of the 20 rats developed stomach lesions or a bleeding stomach. Another 7 of 40 died within 2 weeks. 12 dairy cows died on a farm in Hesse, Germany, after being fed a diet with significant amounts of GM corn variety, BT176. Other cows in the herd developed a mysterious illness and had to be killed. So if other biological creatures are developing issues from the food, what do you think it's doing to us? More than 20 farmers in North America have reported that pigs fed GM corn had low conception rates, false pregnancies, or gave birth to bags of water. Both male and female pigs became sterile. In 2003, approximately 100 people living next to a BT cornfield in the Philippines developed skin, respiratory, intestinal reactions, and other symptoms while the corn was shedding pollen. Animals don't have the genetic makeup to process corn. That's why they get so sick, and that's how salmonella gets into our food. Most GMOs are soaked with the toxic weed killers, such as Roundup. In humans, studies have linked the GMOs to cancer, birth defects, endocrine disruption, digestive disorders, liver and kidney damage, premature death, nutritional deficiencies, and immune problems, according to Smith. After hearing these research results, you would think the FDA would require these GM foods to be labeled. According to JustLabelIt.org, currently 64 countries around the world require labeling of genetically engineered foods. Unlike most other developed countries, such as the 15 nations in the European Union, Japan, Australia, Brazil, Russia, and even China, the U.S. has no laws requiring labeling of genetically engineered foods. Why do you think that is? Do these countries know something that we don't, or is it our government that doesn't want us to know something? According to the FDA, there is general presumption that these foods are essentially the same as non-GE foods. In fact, the policy at the FDA is that as long as GE crops are sustainably equivalent to non-GE crops in terms of nutrition, they are also presumably safe. What the F? And therefore do not need labels to make consumers aware of what they are buying and eating. Oh man, if you're not pissed off, you should be now. In March 2013, 71 U.S. senators voted against the amendment to the Senate version of the 2013 Farmer Bill that would have guaranteed states the right to enact mandatory GMO labeling laws. 71 senators voted against you, us, the people, the 90% of consumers who have said that they want labels on foods containing genetically engineered ingredients, according to the organic consumers. The FDA and the government are not the only ones opposing labeling. They are backed up by the very companies who make the products. Oh my gosh! Isn't that weird? That we consume all the time, such as Heinz, Kellogg, General Mills, Coca-Cola, and Pepsi. But the biggest company with the most money is Monsanto. Monsanto is the largest multi-billion dollar biotechnology company in the world. They specialize in genetically engineered seeds and herbicides, most notably Roundup and herbicide and GE Ready Roundup seed. They are also known for being a bully of the farming industry. They will sue a farmer even if they know they are in the wrong, and they will do it just to prove a point. Monsanto has a track record for suing small family farmers whose canola fields are contaminated with Monsanto's genetically engineered Roundup Ready canola by pollen from a nearby farm. Monsanto says it does not matter how the contamination took place and is therefore demanding that the farmers pay their technology fee. It's a fee that the farmers must pay to grow their engineered products. That's also from the organic consumers. During these lawsuits, farmers can't even afford to continue in court because of the high court fees and eventually end up broke. Isn't that terrible? Monsanto has a monopoly over the biotech industry along with the seed industry. In the United States alone, 93% of soybeans and 80% of corn are grown with the seeds containing Monsanto's patented genetics. So they've created these plants, and they've patented life, which is ridiculous, and they've created a monopoly. They make it impossible for you to grow your own food, and then they sue the shit out of you when you try and do so. And they also have influence in our government. The USDA secretary is the pro-biotech former governor of Iowa. The former Monsanto vice president is now the FDA Deputy Commissioner of Foods. Isn't that convenient? President Obama's Solicitor General took Monsanto's side against organic farmers in the Roundup Ready alfalfa case, is now on the Supreme Court. So what do we do? What's the solution? We need to stop Monsanto. Perhaps Monsanto's connection in the government are what's stopping the eradication of GMOs or even the labeling. So what do we do? You eat organic. Organic foods are not allowed to contain certain genetically modified ingredients. Even a small percentage of the non-organic ingredients allowed in food labeling, labeled organic, is not allowed to contain GMOs. You can write your congressman a letter about labeling GMOs and putting a proposition on the next ballot. Then go and vote for the propositions that support labeling of GMOs. You can attend the March Against Monsanto. This organization is in every major city around the world. They plan worldwide protests with thousands of people where you can go out and express your First Amendment right against Monsanto. The next march is on May 24th in 2014. You can go to marchagainstmonsanto.com for more information. By participating in any one of these solutions, you can make a difference. You can live a longer, healthier life. You can also make a difference in the lives of the next generation. I hope that after hearing about GMOs, you will start to do your part by being informed, researching, and acting. I told you why GMOs are bad, and I addressed the importance of why they must be labeled, and also informed you about Monsanto. In conclusion, I hope that you take action by saying no to GMOs and Monsanto. Every dollar you spend on food is your vote on the type of food you want sold in our grocery stores. After all, you are exactly what you eat, right? So I'm pretty excited about the march. We're building up a lot of momentum. People are really excited. And I'm excited to meet like-minded individuals who want to grow food. We're going to have a workshop. We're going to try to teach people these things. But how do you begin to grow your own food? It can seem overwhelming. I know that I've been planning for about 4 years now, at least, and I've just now become established. You know, people that are polarized when it comes to food. Some people eat food while others blindly consume products that they're familiar with. Those that comforted them as children, those spent thousands of subconscious hours memorizing slogans or phrases that warranted devotion. Let's call that stuff food. It's sort of like food, but not. It's a byproduct of greed and manipulated with ill intentions. The integrity in which it was created has been altered, no longer carrying the same energy that your body craves. I'm speaking on GMOs here. They're defined by the Institute of Responsible Technology as the result of a laboratory process of taking genes from one species and inserting them into another in an attempt to obtain a desired trait or characteristics. Hence, they are also known as transgenic organisms. This process may be called either genetic engineering, GE, or genetic modification, GM. They are all in one the same. So, a decisive and objective mind may not see this as bad initially, but it's not until you understand the deadly and limitless evidence that such foods are slowly killing us. When this notion becomes apparent, the fact that we are sustaining our creations with less than ideal substances makes a profound correlation reveal itself. So there's a link between eating well and feeling well. Quite a revelation. I feel crazy when I speak on it. But as we grow and we learn, we adapt a new lens for viewing. And you are forming a new perspective, a paradigm shift in awareness. Every moment is filled with choices, the most common of which is in regards to fuel. Fuel for your body and fuel for your mind. We are in a constant state of balance. We're either feeding disease or preventing it. This notion is staggering, especially when you exist in a realm full of foods. I spell that P-H-E-W-W-D-S. It's kind of like food, but not really, remember? So what do you do? What's the first step? I think it's really important that you set your intentions. Literally, proclaim to the universe that you want to be well. And yes, I do believe this is necessary. Step two, ponder. What is the most practical solution for you to grow food? There are so many methods nowadays that are emerging. People are sharing their ideas. Check out vertical gardening. Check out aquaponics. Square box gardening. Look up a community CSA in your neighborhood, a community sustained agriculture. See if there are any community gardens. Maybe start a garden at your kid's school. That's step three, is action. You gotta make it happen. Once you figure out what you wanna do, make it happen. So this has been my personal struggle for some time since becoming aware of Monsanto. It's food and the plague that is their existence, but I have taken action. Realizing that regardless of my zero experience as a gardener, you know, aside from watching my grandfather garden as a child, you know, I don't really recall anything other than the taste of the delicious food. But my plan is to grow food and to share it with as many people as possible. And I've spent the last 4 years putting my intentions into this idea. And initially I was planting seeds via thought. And now I have a garden that's thriving. It's super exciting. Every day I go out there and I check on it. And the vegetables are growing really nicely. I've got this little seed starter that my aunt gave me that I use to start seeds. And it's basically a little aquaponics tank. It's really cool. It has an adjustable light. And I grew some arugula from seed maybe 6 weeks ago. And I checked on it yesterday because the plant at the top was about 3 inches big. So perfect size for transplanting. And the roots, I'm not even kidding, were about 8 inches long. So I planted this arugula in the ground with 8-inch long roots. It's crazy. I'm really excited to see how that thing thrives in the soil. The compost is doing well. We've been mixing it a lot, adding all of our organic materials to it. We even add some ashes from our fire. So that's exciting. I really enjoyed our talk last week. We had a buddy call in from Colorado. If you guys missed that show, check it out. He spent a half an hour talking to us about how to compost, and he gave us some super secret tips on things we can do, not only for gardens with soil, but gardens utilizing aquaponics tanks. So you can check out the archives on ucy.tv/TAMR, and they're usually listed on the left. If you guys ever miss a program, I encourage you to check that out. So tonight we talked about Dr. Bonner's all-in-one soaps, their legacy. You know, they've been making soaps for hundreds of years. Their family knows their product. They have a great impact in philosophy behind their business, and they encourage going green. And you can find a bunch of information on their website, things on how to clear your sinuses, how to clean your house, how to deodorize your garbage disposal, all kinds of stuff, things that you can do to get involved in your community. They have an activism section, which is really cool. They talk about the integrity and personal care, the promotion of free trade, re-commercialization of industrial hemp. Oh, my God, wouldn't that be amazing? Labeling GMOs, animal rights and protection. So if you want to spend your voting dollars, I suggest that you spend them on companies like this. They know what's up. They are doing well in their community and worldwide. You know, they have a whole line of products for babies and for the body and for cleaning stuff. And I encourage you to read about Dr. Bronner. His story is really interesting. They're going to be at March Against Monsanto here in San Diego. Maybe we'll see. Sometimes they like to surprise us. So do your research on March Against Monsanto, how you can save water. And I wanted to share with you guys something exciting. Have you heard about the United We Stand Festival? It's taking place tomorrow in Los Angeles. It was going to be UCLA, but they've canceled it. I think they're working on a relocation. I pulled up an article here that was published yesterday. It says here that festival organizers are discussing alternative venues with UCLA and anticipate a mutually positive resolution. Show date and times remain the same. Doors open at 4 and the show starts at 5. The exact location is to be determined. If you don't know about the festival, it's a grassroots organization that in 2012 hosted the open presidential debate and moderated. It was moderated by the television legend Larry King. They're going to gather iconic musicians, intellectuals, and activists. The goal is to power America's voting youth to hold their elected leaders accountable for free and equal elections. The United We Stand University Bus Tour will launch its educational movement May 10th, 2014. The festival, co-sponsored by a number of socially responsible businesses, including Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, Nature's Path Organic, and Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap, and of course a lot of grassroots activist organizations. I'm excited. There's going to be Wu-Tang Clan, Immortal Technique, who's awesome, The Siren, Paul Masvidal of Cynic, a bunch of other people. I'm most excited to have a gathering of the minds, just to be in the same area, sharing ideas. Imagine the ability to network and communicate. It reminds me of imaginal cells. You know, they gather together and they vibrate at the same frequency, and then they share their ideas. And once they realize that they're all sharing the same ideas, a shift occurs. So more events like this that you can support and be aware of will just help with the paradigm shift that we're all hoping to see. We talk a lot about growing food on Friday nights, and you may not understand why that's so important. I want to present it to you this way. Think about your day. Most of us get up and we go to some type of job, which we basically have so that we can survive, right? That's the main reason we have a job, so we can make money, and so we can pay for our home, and so we can buy food. Most of us, after we pay for our home, we only have money to get to work and buy food. That's kind of the norm now. And sadly, there's not a left over in that category of food. And this is what ails me, that families are growing up with two working parents, and they're spending less time as a core unit, as a whole, learning from their elders and experiencing life by learning, via watching. And despite this detachment from the family unit, they're sacrificing their health as well, because mom and dad are spending all the money just to have somewhere to live. And you're not aware of how you're spending your voting dollars. You're not aware that the stuff that you're buying may be hindering the health and function of your children or yourself. So you're not functioning as a family unit. You're not able to provide in the manner that you're hoping to achieve by sacrificing all of your time. And you're not aware of what you're buying and how it'll affect you. I think that goes against all aspects of what I consider to be alive. We should be able to choose what we eat, where it comes from, what is inside of it. And if it's less than ideal, we should be able to make an informed decision on whether or not we nourish our bodies with that thing. We shouldn't have to pay to live on a place where we were born. This is our home, and I think that we should work on sharing it instead of fighting over it. Regardless of what you believe or where you come from, wouldn't it be amazing if you could just exist and all day your worry wasn't how am I going to eat or how am I going to pay my rent? Instead, you considered, what new skill am I going to learn today? How am I going to broaden my perspective? How am I going to help my neighbor? These are things that I think are most important. That's what makes us human, is sharing in our experiences, learning from each other, and growing as a whole unit. We're all different pieces of the same thing. And if we could spend just a little less time arguing about the thing and how we all got here, instead if we focused our attention on how to stay here and how to care for this thing, we would have a totally different world. So I encourage you guys to check out Dr. Bronner's, because it's an awesome product. Look into ways that you can save water, even if it's just spending less time in the shower. Read the story about the man who went an entire year without showering. Try to find the original one that he wrote. It's well written, and it's really sincere, and it will move you on a whole other level. look at ways that you can be more sustainable in your home. I've mentioned to you a product or a company called Shaklee, S-H-A-K-L-E-E. They sell a lot of green products. Last time I checked, they were the only company that has a zero carbon footprint on the planet. They make a lot of concentrates. They make vitamins. So if you're worried about nutrition, you know, growing your own food is not practical. You can ensure that you're getting proper nutrition by taking some vitamins. You don't even have to use that company. Just do your research and make sure that the ingredients are that have integrity, that the products actually assimilate into the body in a proper manner, you know, that they don't just get dissolved in the gut and then go nowhere. Check out the United We Stand Festival. If you can make it, I encourage you. There's going to be a tour. So if you can check it out, be involved, you guys. I'm excited. I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm hoping to meet a lot of people, and of course I'll give you guys an update next week. The garden's going well. I encourage you to be aware of where your food comes from and to make wise decisions while choosing to eat every day. And if you can, you know, do some research about gardening. If you have a neighbor that has a yard, barter with them. I'm going to start bartering with some people who want to grow food, but they don't have space. It's so sad. One of my patients came in yesterday, and we were talking, and she's like, God, Levon, it seems like you do it all. You know, you have a job, you're a mom, and you do this, and you do that. Like, how do you do it? And I told her, I value my time, and I spend my time doing what matters most to me, and that's the secret. If you're passionate about something, it's not work. You want to do it. So here I am speaking to you about GMOs and ways you can be more sustainable, despite the fact that I've been awake for hours and I haven't had dinner, because that's not what matters, you guys. Just adapt a new lens, if you will. Take to heart some of the things we discussed tonight. Check out UCY.TV. It's an awesome platform. There are so many shows. You guys can download an app and listen to us on the go. I enjoy doing that in lieu of the radio. I no longer have that insanity of, like, flipping through stations. That used to be the only thing I did when I drove, is just hit the next button. Talk about a distracted driver. I'm like, God, this music's terrible. If you aren't interested in other things that are going on in the world, there's a lot of programs that we have on the network, and, you know, a lot of archives, not just ours, but other shows you can check out. Of course, keep up with theantimedia.org. You can become a member there and be part of the change you wish to see by sharing valid original content. You can read about what's going on in the world on UCY.TV as well. There's not only shows, there's a lot of valid news. You guys have a great week. I'm going to sign out a little early tonight because of my migraine. And I'm going to put a hot towel on my head because typically it's a restriction of blood flow when there's a headache. So hot towel on the head to open up blood vessels. That's a good thing I could mention to you guys. Most pain is inflammatory. You know, it's a chemical. And if you think of your pain as a fire, when you have pain, you don't want to apply heat. I know most of us go straight to heat because it feels good, but you're actually encouraging the vessels to open, which increases the blood flow, which puts more pressure on the nerves, which usually results in more pain. So if you remember that your pain is like a fire, you want to put ice on it. So that's what I recommend if you're having pain. You put ice for anti-inflammatory properties. But on the same notion, you don't want to put ice for too long because your body's very smart. And if you over ice, it will have the opposite effect. Your body will go, oh no, we're going to freeze. And it will actually open up the vessels, which is opposite of what you're intending. Return the blood flow to, you know, save from the freezing effects and have the wrong response. So everything in moderation, I guess, is the ending statement for this evening. Just be more mindful of your daily practices and remember that we didn't always live this way. We used to be indigenous people living with the land and living in communities and working together. what happened? How did we become so disconnected? And could all of the things we are facing today be a result of that? I ponder that a lot. You know, if we're so civilized, but we're not civil, that's a problem. So how can you be more civil? I'll leave you with that. And have a beautiful week, you guys. We'll see you back on Monday at 8 o'clock. And check out all those things I told you about, okay? Mwah!
Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.